Maya Hawke? Winona Ryder? Robin Quivers? Miley Cyrus? Stranger Things is next on Fanacheck. This is a special episode of Fan and Check. So I've been off for the last couple weeks. I was traveling out to Utah, then I had COVID, so I haven't done any episodes. So I thought coming back, I would do a fun one with my daughter. She's 12, and I said, you know what, what's your favorite show? Turns out it's Stranger Things, and I said, look, we'll do it about that. So this has nothing to do with season one. I thought I'd take a little break and just have some fun with Fanacek and daughter of Fanacek. So hope you enjoy the episode. All right, a special episode of Fanacek. This has nothing to do with season one or Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but I will still find ways to connect it to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I promise you. So I got a special guest today. You are the youngest guest in Fanacek history. You're also my daughter. I love it. And so we're going to be talking about your favorite show, which is?
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things. And guess what? I don't know the show. I've never seen it. I have absolutely no knowledge. That's not going to stop me, though, from being a know-it-all. So this is, and you don't listen to Fanacek, do you? Tell the truth.
No, I have never heard any episodes.
You and the rest of society. No problem. Well, this is an episode where I talk to people incessantly. Some of it they find interesting. Some of it they find boring. You should be used to it because you live with me. You live with me your whole life. But I always ask guests to pick a name. So we do this anonymously here. I am Fanacek, and I've asked you to pick a name from a TV show. What name would you like to be today?
11.
And that's a character from which show?
Stranger Things.
That worked out well, didn't it? Yeah. All right. So, 11, you want to just jump right into it? You want to talk about Stranger Things?
Yep.
Let's talk about Stranger Things. So, 34 episodes have aired so far, and there's 8 planned for season 5. So, that's 42 total episodes. It premiered July 15th, 2016. Let's read a synopsis, shall we? What do you think the show's about? Why don't you give me a synopsis?
The whole overall.
The whole thing. Yeah. Let's see how close you are, because I'm going to read the actual synopsis.
Basically, just like a dark opposite of Hawkins, it's always been like taking over. And then these couple kids, a lot of kids are trying to save Hawkins.
Hawkins is in Indiana?
Yeah, Hawkins, Indiana.
The synopsis on IMDb reads like this. When a young boy disappears, his mother, a police chief, and his friends must confront terrifying supernatural forces in order to get him back. That's more of a
season one thing. Yeah.
That's a season one thing, right? Good job. I like your synopsis better. Do you know who created the show?
The Duffer Brothers.
Right. Do you know their names?
Matt is one of them.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know the other one.
Ross. I only know that because I looked it up. Created by Matt and Ross Duffer. They are brothers. Very successful. Who is your favorite character? I did ask you to do this for me because this is going to help me do a jumping off point. Who's your favorite character on the show?
Nancy Wheeler.
And that's played by Natalia Dyer. You want to talk about her? Good. Because I did my homework. By the way, when I ask you a question, you shrug. You got to remember it's a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Although I get what you're saying, the audience may not. So let's talk about Natalia Dyer. She was born January 13th, 1995. Guess where she was born? In Nashville. Yeah, how about that? Born in Nashville, she's got 23 acting credits. Her first one is 2009's Hannah Montana, the movie.
I knew that. Actually.
Her last one is currently what she's working on, Stranger Things. So let's talk about Hannah Montana, the movie. Have you ever met Miley Cyrus?
Yes.
Regale us. Tell us that story.
We were at Best Buy, and Miley Cyrus was looking for a new fridge, and I saw her in the fridge aisle.
There you go. Yeah, she was with her husband at the time.
Yeah, but we didn't see him.
I saw. Mom, that's actually how we knew it was her, because mommy said, "Hey, I forget it. Liam Hemsworth." Yeah, Liam. But the mommy came over to me, and she's like, I think that's Liam Hemsworth. I said, get the hell out of here. We talk about Liam Hemsworth. And then later on, the sales guy working with me because we were buying TVs, he's like, Miley Cyrus is here. So I was like, ah. So that must have been Liam Hemsworth. But I know you went over there and met her. That's pretty cool. Guess what? I have an interesting story too. So at the time they were making that movie, I knew the girl who was Miley Cyrus's body double for the movie. So usually actors will have a body double. They'll use them for lighting, maybe even for stunts, that kind of thing. I forget her name though, but I did improv with her, but I knew her. She was Miley's body double. She was real proud of it because she was like 30, but she's like doubling for, you know, Miley Cyrus, who I guess was like 15 or 16 at the time. But she also worked with her a lot in her script. So they'd be in the trailer going through the script and everything together. So that's kind of neat. Other folks in that movie, Billy Ray Cyrus, isn't that, you know, her dad was like a big deal. Right,
he had that Old Town Road song.
That's right, Old Town Road. When I was younger, I was in high school, he had a song called Achy Breaky Heart, which was like a smash hit. I didn't get it, wasn't my thing growing up in the Bronx, but anyway, Vanessa Williams is in the movie. Margot Martindale, she's a, you don't know her, she's a phenomenal actress. She's an older woman, I'd say she's probably in her 60s now. Killer supporting actor. She just does a great job. She's a character actor, does a great job. Melora Hardin was in that movie. Do you know who Melora Hardin is? Now, what show do you always make fun of me because I'm always watching it on TV?
The Office.
That's right. Melora Hardin plays Jan Levinson in The Office. So she was in the Hannah Montana movie. Melora Hardin, too cool, an interesting story about her. She was originally in Back to the Future. So when they first started making Back to the Future, it wasn't Michael J. Fox. You've seen Back to the Future, right?
Yeah.
I remember you liked it.
A long time ago.
So it wasn't Michael J. Fox. It was an actor named Eric Stoltz, right? And they're like 3 weeks into filming and they decided to fire him. He wasn't being funny enough. They didn't like him. So they fired him and replaced him with Michael J. Fox. Now, Melora Hardin was in the movie as Marty's girlfriend. But when they fired Eric Stoltz and put in Michael J. Fox, Michael J. Fox is like only 5'4". He's a little guy and she was too tall. So they had to replace her. And she thought that was going to be her big break. And she ends up getting fired off the movie for being too tall.
Sucks.
It really sucks. And so kind of, I mean, hey, she went on to have a good career anyway, but you have to wonder what would have happened if she had that role. And because then she would have gotten Back to the Future too and all that. And anyway, Taylor Swift is also in the movie. So there you go. So Natalia Dyer has worked with some seriously cool folks. So I've went ahead and did some homework on this. So let's go through some of her credits, right? So in 2011, she did a movie called The Greening of Whitney Brown. Brooke Shields was in that. Aidan Quinn was in that. And a very famous actor named Chris Christopherson was in it. I got a cool story about Aidan Quinn. By the way, one thing you're going to find about me, 11, is I'm making a lot of today's podcast about me. It wasn't on purpose, but it's going to work out that way. So I actually auditioned for a movie once in my acting days where I was going to play Aidan Quinn's son. And actually, for the final audition, I had to drive all the way out to Winston-Salem, which is, sadly, I don't even know. It's one of the Carolinas. I don't know if it's North or South Carolina. Geography is not my thing. But I ultimately didn't get the movie. But I would have played Aidan Quinn's son. But those are three killer actors that she worked with. In 2013, she does a movie called Don't Let Me Go. Trace Atkins is in that. Trace Atkins is a country artist. Peter Bogdanovich is in it. Peter Bogdanovich is a really famous director. He's also done some acting. He had a recurring role on one of my favorite shows of all time called The Sopranos, which we'll talk about a little bit later today. Then she does, in 2014, she does After Darkness with Kira Sedgwick. She's a famous actor. She's married to Kevin Bacon. Tim Daly is also in that. Tim Daly is a famous actor who had her supporting role and a recurring role in The Sopranos. So there you go. 2014, she does I Believe in Unicorns with Julia Garner. Julia Garner is in a show called Ozark that me and mom used to watch. You're a little too young for that. Julia Garner grew up in the same neighborhood as me. She's a lot younger than me, but she grew up in Riverdale in the Bronx. So what's up, Riverdale? 718. 2016, she does Long Nights, Short Mornings with Nicholas Tucci. Let's talk about Nicholas Tucci real quick. So back in 2005, I made a short film with Nicholas Tucci. So, and I knew Nick. And then later on, his career kind of exploded. He was a lead in a big horror movie called You're Next. And I'll never forget because You're Next had a really cool trailer. Like, it was really neat. And I love how you keep nodding at me. You feel free to speak. You can say anything you want. You can even curse if you want to.
No.
But anyway, so Nicholas Tucci, his career took off. And I was like, oh my God, I knew Nick. I was in a short film with Nick. And then he died at 38 years old. I want to say cancer, but he was ill. He was sick.
You were going to say Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage.
Which is April Fool's Day, Frank.
Yes, April Fool's. You guys put pictures of Nicolas Cage all over the house.
Me and my mom put pictures of Nicolas Cage's face all over the house.
Nicolas Cage. Yes, he's a bizarre dude. But yeah, Nick Tucci died. Then in 2008, we're still talking about Natalia Dyer, right? So in 2018, she does something called Mountain Rest. which had Francis Conroy in it. Francis Conroy was in a fantastic show called 6 Feet Under. Loved that show. 2019, she has a movie called Velvet Buzzsaw. I don't know what this is about, nor do I care, but it's got a really cool, it's got a really cool name, Velvet Buzzsaw. This has a murderer's row of actors in it. Jake Gyllenhaal's in this, so is Rene Russo. Oddly enough, I just flew to Utah, which is why I haven't done a Fan of Check episode in a while, because then I had COVID. But when I was flying to Utah, I actually watched the movie called Nightcrawlers with Jake Gyllenhaal and Rene Russo in it. So I guess they liked each other because they worked with each other again here in Velvet Buzzsaw. It also has Toni Collette in it. Toni Collette was the mom in The Sixth Sense. Remember how we just watched The Sixth Sense with you? So that was the mom. So she's in it. John Malkovich is in it. That guy's a killer actor. And then a guy named Stephen Williams is in it. He was in a TV show when I was a kid called 21 Jump Street that I loved. He played Captain Fuller. So those are people that that Natalia Dyer's worked with. 2019, she does The Nearest Human Being. We're going to do a little deep dive on this because the lead in The Nearest Human Being is a guy named Charlie Hoffheimer. And how do I know Charlie Hoffheimer? We talked about this. No? Nothing?
No.
I go get my wedding album. He was at our wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was at me and Mommy's wedding. So Charlie Hoffheimer is married to one of Mommy's best friends. Her name is Shannon Lucio. And Charlie Hoffheimer...
Wait, they're married?
Yeah. Yeah, they are married. They were dating at the time, but they were at our wedding. I've known Charlie Hoffheimer a long time. We're going to talk about him a little bit, right? Because he's an interesting guy. So he's got 57 acting credits. His first one is Lassie in 1994, which we're going to talk about because I got a story about that. Because like I told you, I'm going to make this all about me. And his last one is a TV show in 2019 called For All Mankind. Real quickly, we're going to talk about For All Mankind. Let me look it up here. I wanted to read the synopsis. Sounds pretty neat. So here's the synopsis for All Mankind. In an alternative version of 1969, the Soviet Union beats the United States to the moon, and the space race continues on for decades with still grander challenges and goals. So what that's about is it was this... Basically, President John Kennedy in the early 60s kind of declared a race. Like, we're going to be the first ones to get to the moon. And Russia was actually further along than us. Like, we were trailing behind them. And it was a really lofty goal, but we went for it. And, of course, President Kennedy was killed in 1963. But eventually in 1969, I think it was August of 1969, we, in fact, landed on the moon. Americans were the first one to do it. So there's a big space race between us and Russia. So that's what he's referring to there. An actor named Joel Kinnaman's in that show. I love Joel Kinnaman. He was in a great show called The Killing. Then he was in a not-so-great movie where they did a remake of RoboCop. So yeah. I don't think you're ever going to watch RoboCop, but if you do, watch the original. Don't watch the remake. But also Spencer Garrett was in that, and Spencer Garrett was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Say, I told you I'd make it about that. We'll come back to that. Say, I know, we're going to talk. I know, you're whispering. Maya Hawke. We're going to talk about Maya Hawke. How would I forget that? But I want to talk about Lassie real quick. Because guess what? So Lassie came out in 1994. Lassie was a TV show from the 50s and 60s, right? Then in 1994, they made a movie of it, a big screen version of it. And I was at the premiere. So here's what happened. So in 1994, I'm in high school. And my summer job in high school, I used to work as a messenger in Manhattan. So I take the train in Manhattan. It was like the coolest job because I'm like 16 years old. And all day long, all I'm doing is roaming around Manhattan and delivering packages. And it was a lot of fun. And I worked in a building on 57th Street, 9 West 57th Street. And across the street from it, it was a little theater. And one day I'm getting off of work, me and my buddy, and there's all these limousines. Like there's this big crowd outside the movie theater. And I'm like, what's going on? It's a movie premiere. So like they lit up the red carpet and all that. So I walk over there and of course I see that it's Lassie, which at 16, I wasn't not terribly excited about Lassie. But I'm poking around, I'm looking, and this is kind of gets neat. So it's all these limo drivers are all hanging out with each other, kind of BSing and talking. And they're pointing over, clearly something's got their attention. And they're pointing over at this African-American woman, right? I'm like, who is that? I realize, oh my gosh, that's Robin Quivers from the Howard Stern Show. You know, you hear me talk about Howard Stern. I'm a big Howard Stern fan. So I went over to her. I was like, excuse me, are you Robin Quivers? She's like, yeah. And she couldn't have been friendlier. She signed an autograph for me. And we talked for a little bit. And it was just kind of neat. So when I saw that Charlie Hoffheimer's first movie was Lassie, I'm like, I bet he was there. It's a premiere. So years later, I would know Charlie. But anyway, it's kind of funny to me. I was at that premiere and met Robin Quivers. So other notable credits for Charlie Hoffheimer. This guy stays busy. He did a movie called Father's Day in 1997. I'll read the synopsis. But this was a really big deal, this movie. Because it was the first time that Robin Williams and Billy Crystal had worked together in a long time. So I'll read the synopsis and I'll explain the roles. But a woman cons two old boyfriends into searching for her runaway son by convincing both that they are the boy's father. So Robin Williams, comedic actor who passed away several years ago.
The genie, right?
That's right. He's a genie in Aladdin. That's right. Billy Crystal, real funny actor as well. they played like two guys who thought maybe they were the father of this kid. And the kid was played by Charlie Hofheimer. And so who else was in that? So again, Robin Williams, Billy Crystal. It was directed by Ivan Reitman. Ivan Reitman has done a lot of, he did Ghostbusters. You like Ghostbusters, right? That's Ivan Reitman. He produced Howard Stern's movie. So we're talking about Howard Stern. Howard Stern made a movie called Private Parts in the 90s. And it was produced by Ivan Reitman. What else? His son, Jason Reitman, is also a director. Ivan Reitman has since passed away. He died actually pretty recently, I think a year or two ago. His son, Jason Reitman, is also a great director. And he actually directed that new version of Ghostbusters with Paul Rudd. Have you seen that yet? And the kid from,
Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah, Finn Wolfhard, isn't it? So it comes back to Stranger Things. Yeah,
I haven't watched that yet.
Okay, we should watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's directed by Jason Reitman, who's Ivan Reitman's son. So that is Father's Day 1997. It also, I remember I was out to sea. So I was in the Navy at this time when Father's Day came out. So I was out to sea and they would send us boxes of movies, like these tapes. So I remember we were watching Father's Day and a big part of the movie is a band called Sugar Ray. So in the movie, there's this band called Sugar Ray and they're on tour and the son runs away with his girlfriend to follow Sugar Ray and the two dads have to find him. And I never heard of the band. Like it was we thought it was a fictional band because we'd been out to sea so long. Well, anyway, when we pull back into America months later, because I was on a 6-month deployment, we pull back into America several months later and surprisingly, Sugar Ray is a real band. And I was like, oh, I thought that was fake. So anyway, that's the movie that gave us Sugar Ray. Thanks. Sugar Ray sucks, by the way. I'm not a big Sugar Ray fan. Do you know the song? All around the world, statues crumble for me. Yeah, well, you're not missing anything. All right. 2001, he does Black Hawk Down. This movie is a killer. So I'll read the synopsis for you. I feel bad. I'm reading all these about movies that you're not old enough to watch. The story of 160 elite U.S. soldiers who dropped into Mogadishu in October of 1993 to capture two top lieutenants of a renegade warlord, but found themselves in a desperate battle with a large force of heavily armed Somalis. Really intense movie. Had Josh Hartnett in it, Ewan McGregor, Tom Sizemore, Tom Hardy, who went on to have a big career, and a guy named William Fichtner. William Fichtner is probably what you call like a character actor. He's like a that guy. Like no one really knows his name, but every time you see him, like, oh, that guy. You know, he's one of those dudes. I saw him in a movie theater once when I was living in L.A. I was actually at a movie with my girlfriend at the time, who's now mommy, my wife. But we went to a movie. I forget what movie, but he was there. And I was like, oh, it's that guy. Because I didn't know his name. But anyway, that's a crazy cast. That was directed by Ridley Scott. You know what else Ridley Scott directed was a movie you didn't like. And honestly, I'm not a huge fan either. Alien. Remember we watched Alien? Mommy made us watch Alien.
We didn't watch all of it, though.
I know.
I didn't like it because I couldn't hear anything that they were saying at all.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I just always thought it was overrated. Like, it's supposed to be like this terrifying movie, and I feel like it's slow. But anyway, that's just me. But Ridley Scott directed Black Hawk Down. Ridley also directed Alien. So there you go. 2004, Charlie Hofheimer does The Village. Now, that's directed by M. Night Shyamalan, who directed The Sixth Sense, which you did.
Didn't you say we should watch that?
The Village, yeah, that's a movie I think you'd like. It's a really cool movie. The Sixth Sense is probably better in terms of like is your introduction to Shyamalan, but a great movie. It's got Sigourney Weaver in it, right? She was the lead in Alien, right? The main lady.
So Mom has said Sigourney Weaver so many times. I swear she's mentioned in Finding Dory. When Dory's like swimming up to the surface, she's like. There's like this voice and she's like, and the voice is like, this is Sigourney Weaver. Please check out the aquarium or whatever. So like every time you or mommy say Sigourney Weaver, I just think of Dory.
Okay, that could be right. We can look into that. Fair enough. But yeah, Sigourney Weaver's been around a long time. And so she was in The Village. Joaquin Phoenix. I don't know if you know Joaquin Phoenix. Famous actor. He was a child actor and he's a great actor. He recently won an Oscar for Joker. He played Joker. Adrian Brody's in The Village. But it's, again, it's directed by M. Night Shyamalan. And so there's a big twist in this one too, which I'm not going to tell you because you haven't seen it yet. But what I love about The Sixth Sense, watching The Sixth Sense with you, to me, was funny. So when The Sixth Sense came out, like that twist ending at the end where, you know, we find out that Bruce Willis was dead the whole time, that was a big deal. 11. That was a huge deal. Like all of America was like, oh my God, you know, he was dead the whole time. So me and mommy were so excited to watch that with you, right? So the movie's winding down and I'm making eye contact with mommy. She's looking at me. We're waiting for you to get excited.
Right? Oh, and I didn't do anything.
Right? So the movie ends and I'm thinking she didn't get it. Like she didn't understand. So, you know, mom's looking at me. I'm looking at her. We're like, what? So finally I was like, did you get the ending? And I swear you didn't even blink. You're like, yeah, he's dead. I was like, In 1999, that was a big deal in America.
I literally just sat there and watched the movie. I didn't say or do anything.
I know. In 2022, you were not impressed. That made me laugh. I remember thinking you were going to be blown away. Charlie Hoffheimer was also, he did 11 episodes on one of my favorite shows, a show called Mad Men. And he played one of the main actresses, main characters' boyfriends, or even a fiance maybe. But he had a great run on that. So I remember thinking it was so cool that he was on Mad Men because it's such a great show. He did a movie in 2016 called Dependence Day. One thing I like to do on Fanacek is I like to give what I call Best Poster Award. So he did a movie called Dependence Day, and it gets the best poster. I'm going to show it to you. It's not great, but I like that poster. Kind of reminds me of that, right? It's got kind of like the same kind of vibe as Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
It looks like all the other ones in your office.
Well, that's the kind of poster I like, huh? So there you go. Smart ass. All right. So where was I? Okay. So what's Dependence Day even about? Let's read the synopsis here. In this hilarious romantic comedy, non-working actor Cam is claimed as a dependent by his breadwinning girlfriend Alice. As he stumbles from one humiliating job to the next, he tries to keep his dream alive as well as his relationship. So that's Dependence Day. Shannon Lucio's in it as well. So is an actor named Todd Bridges. Todd Bridges was really famous when I was young. So he played a character named Willis in... And if Willis, you probably never heard of this. You ever heard of a show called Different Strokes?
No.
What you talking about, Willis? Never heard that? Okay, anyway, he was a famous child actor, and then he got involved in drugs, and it just derailed his career, and he was on drugs for a long time. Now I think he's been sober a long time, but he's still not, you know, he's kind of like a C-level actor. So there you go. Don't do drugs. It'll ruin your acting career. Another actor, and this is someone I work with, so an actress named Ashley Dyke. I did some sketch comedy with her in L.A. She was a neighbor of a friend of mine. And it's actually where I met Mom. So I used to do this series of shows called The Boob Tube out in L.A. with Mom. And it was like sketch comedy where you kind of make fun of TV shows. And I worked with this friend of mine named Frank. And we would write a lot of them. And we'd act in a lot of them. And so we had one that we needed some female actors in it. And his neighbor was Ashley Dyke. And so she came over and we did a Project Runway thing. I think I played Annie Leibovitz. So I played a female photographer. I think Ashley played Tyra Banks. But anyway, so it's kind of funny. It's like, I know Ashley Dyke. So there you go. It all comes full circle. So in 2018, he does a mini series called Escape at Dannemora based on a true story. I'm going to pull up the synopsis here. I think you're going to dig it. But this really happened. It was in the news. Let me pull up Escape at Dannemora. Where is it? Escape at Dannemora. All right. A female prison employee in upstate New York becomes romantically involved with a pair of inmates and helps him escape. So this lady working at the prison helps these guys escape. It was directed by Ben Stiller. Do you know who Ben Stiller is?
Nope. Well, maybe. It sounds familiar.
Yeah. He was the lead actor in those Night at the Museum movies. That's Ben Stiller.
Oh, yeah.
You like those. You and your sister like those, right? So he directed that. But Benicio del Toro was in it. Patricia Arquette was in it. Who else? Paul Dano. Paul Dano is a killer actor. I just rewatched one of his movies, a movie called There Will Be Blood, where he does scenes opposite of Daniel Day-Lewis. Daniel Day-Lewis is considered one of the best actors of our generation, right? And this Paul Dano, man, he does scenes against that guy where he's just holding his own, killer actor. Bonnie Hunt is in this movie. Bonnie Hunt comes from Second City. We know Second City, right? So an interesting credit, though. Let's talk about Charlie Hoffheimer. All right, I promise you, I will get this back to Stranger Things. I'm going to use my magic powers to do it right now. So in 1996, Charlie Hoffheimer does a movie called Boys. John C. Reilly is in Boys. He's a famous actor. Skeet Ulrich is in it. A guy named Wiley Wiggins. Wiley Wiggins never took off. Wiley Wiggins was like the lead actor in this really famous movie called Dazed and Confused. And literally, he's like the lead. I think the movie's kind of ultimately about him. And then you never see this kid again. I'm like, what the hell happened to that kid? but he's in this. But the lead actor in Boys is Winona Ryder. So, well, there you go. See, it all comes together. So let's talk about Winona Ryder. So she's been around forever. So I had a big old crush on Winona. What, you want to talk? Say something.
I just want to say, for Halloween, you need to be Hopper, and then Mom needs to be Winona Ryder. I know you've never seen Stranger Things, but Mom has.
Okay. Does he have a beard?
Yes.
There you go. I'm very limited because I have this stupid beard. I'm limited in what I can dress up.
Well, it depends on what season. Normally, it's kind of like more shaved and more of like a mustache.
Okay.
But
I can work with that.
See, no, just don't get a mustache. Don't.
Well, it's funny. Speaking of the beard ruins all my Halloween costumes. It does. So a couple years ago, I went as Magnum PI, which I was very proud of. I mean, I had a
great... No one knew who you were.
No, no one knew. And I think the beard made it worse. And the thing is, Tom Selleck is the actor that played Magnum P.I. And he's famous for this mustache. And I realized, I can't pull it off with a beard. But I had a huge old crush on Winona Ryder when I was a kid. So funny stuff about her. So she, for a long time, dated Johnny Depp. You know the actor Johnny Depp?
She did?
Mm-hmm. A funny story about that. So yeah, so she dated him for a long time. May have even been engaged. But he makes... a lot of poor choices in life. The guy's been engaged like 18 times. But he got her name tattooed on his arm. So he had Winona Forever tattooed on his arm. And when they broke up, he changed it to Wino Forever. So now he's got this stupid tattoo on his arm that says Wino Forever. Wino is someone who drinks excessive, like they call homeless people winos, which is awful. But, you know, Wino is someone who just drinks too much wine. So now he's got a tattoo on his arm that says Wino Forever. Great choice, Mr. Depp. What else? Let's do some trivia. So I looked up some trivia about Winona Ryder. She owns a lot of memorabilia. She's like really into collecting Hollywood memorabilia, including one of the pieces that she owns is Russ Tamblyn's jacket from West Side Story. So he was an actor from West Side Story, but he's also right there on that poster. He was one of the lead actors in The Female Bunch, which was a movie and a Best Poster Award winner from one of Fanichek's previous episodes.
The one with the mustache?
Yes.
The gray one?
Yep, that's Russ Tamblyn. So that was a gift from one of my Fanichek guests. And he's in that.
Which one?
The one who played Michael. We'll talk about it offline. I don't like to use real names.
Oh, okay. Well, do you remember the
name? Michael Scott.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so that's Russ Tamblyn. He's got a daughter named Amber Tamblyn. She's a famous actor as well. Probably not anything you've seen. She claims that she didn't know what streaming was when Netflix offered her, or when she got offered, you know, Stranger Things, which is on Netflix. She claims that I don't even know what streaming is, which I think is bullshit. She's one of those people, like, I don't even watch TV. Yes, you do. Everyone watches TV. So knock it off. Anyway, so I'm calling BS on Winona Ryder. Let's take a look. She was born October 29th, 1971. She's a two-time Oscar nominee, but she's never won. So she was nominated for Best Actress in 1993 for a movie called The Age of Innocence. She lost to Emma Thompson, who did Howard's End. And then in 1994, the following year, she was also nominated for Best Actress for a movie called Little Women. But she lost to Holly Hunter for a movie called
The
Piano.
Beetlejuice?
No, she was not nominated for Beetlejuice. No.
That's the only other thing I know.
Well, we're going to talk about Beetlejuice, but no. Not a bad movie, but not Oscar caliber films. But yeah, so she's a two-time nominee. But she had a killer run like in the late 80s, early 90s. The late 80s, early 90s is like she runs it. I mean, like she's probably the most popular female actor of that time period. So let's take a look at, let's do a deep dive on her. So she's got 69 acting credits. Her first one is a movie called Lucas in 1986. The last one is, of course, Stranger Things. Lucas is the movie that I think you'd actually really like. Lucas is a classic. So Lucas stars a guy named Corey Haim. He died a few years ago. It also has Charlie Sheen before he went nuts. And of course, Winona Ryder. Classic movie about an underdog kid. He's poor. He's little. He decides to play football. He gets hurt. And of course, the movie ends with everyone cheering for him. But it's a feel-good movie. I think you dig it. What? Look, you look like you want to say something.
Are we going through all 69?
No. I love it. So I started this off by saying Fanichek is a podcast where I talk at you and oftentimes you're bored. Sometimes you're interested. I think you're more on the bored side of the spectrum. That's okay. No, we're not going to talk about them all. And I'm going to open it up to you here. But let's talk about her notable credits. So I'm not going to do all 69, but she kills it. So 1988, she does Beetlejuice. That's huge. 1988, she also does 1969. Now, that's not a big hit movie, but I loved it. So 1969 was a great movie. It was her. It's actually one of my favorites as a kid. I stole it. I actually not stole it, but I rented it from the video store and just never brought it back. That's how much I liked this movie. So I think my mom probably had to pay for it. But it was her, Robert Downey Jr., who's now Iron Man, and a guy named Kiefer Sutherland. And So Kiefer Sutherland and Robert Downey Jr. play these two guys who are in college trying to avoid the Vietnam draft. Winona Ryder is Downey Jr.'s little sister. Just a great movie. I remember really liking it. It was really impactful to me. And then I watched it years later, like 20 years later, I watched it and it didn't hold up. So the lesson there, kid, is movies that you love now, you may not like when you get older. So don't watch them again. But anyway, so 1988 is a big year for her because she has Beetlejuice, 1969, and then Heathers. Heathers is a classic. Have you ever heard of Heathers or no? You have?
Yeah.
How?
I just know the name.
Got you. Yeah, you're probably a little young for it now, but it's her. It's Christian Slater. Shannon Doherty. Great movie. 1989, it gets even better. It's just Great Balls of Fire. That's the true story of Jerry Lee Lewis.
Is that song in
mm-hmm.
it?
It's about him. Yeah, Great Balls of... Bum, 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 bum. You shake my nerves and you're right on my... Bum, 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 bum. Yeah, it's about him. So Dennis
Great
Quaid...
Balls of Fire.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, well, in real life, Jerry Lee Lewis, not such a great guy. So he's played by Dennis Quaid in the movie, but basically, I don't know the whole story, but Jerry Lee Lewis eventually married his 13-year-old cousin. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I know, not good. So she
How
plays...
How old was he?
Oh, probably 20s or 30s. She plays the cousin. So Winona Ryder played his 13-year-old cousin that he married. But still, I like the movie. I don't know if it was a big hit, but it's a good movie. 1990, she does Edward Scissorhands. I think that's where she met Johnny Depp. That's a classic. That's a movie you'd love. Then she works with Cher in Mermaids. 92, she does Dracula, which is directed by Francis Ford Coppola. He's a really famous director, kid. He did like the Godfather movies. This Dracula wasn't great, though. It was Bram Stoker's Dracula. Keanu Reeves was in it, and he hadn't really hit his stride in terms of being a good actor.
The one from What Up With That?
Keanu Reeves? No, it's Keenan Thompson.
Oh.
No, you've seen Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves is a lead in Speed. You remember we watched Speed? The bus can't go below 50 miles an hour. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, the one from The Matrix?
Yes. The Matrix. There you go. That's probably a better fit for you. Yes. So, Dracula wasn't great. Gary Oldman was good in it, though. He played Dracula. 1999, shows Reality Bites. Now, Reality Bites... It's a classic movie from the early 90s. It's about a love triangle. So she's dating this guy played by Ben Stiller, who we already talked about, right? The other guy she's dating in the movie is an actor named Ethan Hawke, right? So Ethan Hawke went on to marry Uma Thurman, and they had a daughter, Maya Hawke. Also in Reality Bites is an actor named Steve Zahn that I've worked with before. So I worked with Steve Zahn in a film back in 2005, which was kind of cool for me. Actually, and ironically, we filmed that movie. The scenes that I filmed for that movie was in a lot called Hollywood Center Studios, which were they used as the exterior for Mad Men, which Charlie Hoffheimer was in. And now I'm bringing it all full circle because that's what FanCheck does. I'm excited now. But then things start to go off the rails a bit for Winona Ryder. So 1997, she does Alien Resurrection, which is one of the many sequels to Alien, a movie that you and I were not huge fans of. Then she does Girl Interrupted. I didn't care for that movie, but it did pretty well. Angelina Jolie won an Oscar for it, Best Supporting Actress. Whoopi Goldberg was in it as well. Now I think.
Wait, what's his name?
I'm sorry? Whoop? No, it's an actress named Whoopi Goldberg. You ever heard of Whoopi Goldberg?
Is that his actual name?
It's a her.
Oh, is that her actual
name? No, it's not actually. She changed it. That's not her real name. But her stage name is Whoopi Goldberg. She's an Oscar winner too. She won an Oscar Best Supporting Actress for a movie called Ghost, which I think you'd love. Patrick Swayze, Demi Moore, and Whoopi Goldberg. The gist of the movie is this couple, Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze, they're a couple, they're in love, and he gets murdered. And she's really depressed, but his ghost comes back and he's trying to get to her because she's in danger. And Whoopi Goldberg plays a lady who pretends to be a medium, pretends like she can talk to the dead. So she scams people. She's not a good person. But it turns out she really can talk to him. So now he has to work through her to get to his wife. Anyway, you love the movie. Great movie. And Whoopi Goldberg won an Oscar for it. What else? So then things go downhill. 2001, Winona Ryder gets in some trouble. So she gets popped for shoplifting. She was at Saks Fifth Avenue in Beverly Hills. And she's wealthy. I mean, she's a famous actress. And she stole like $5,000 worth of stuff. She got arrested. And I think she kind of had a bit of a mental breakdown. And then you don't see Winona Ryder for a long time. You know, she's kind of not the big actress that she was until Stranger Things comes around. Really brings back her career and gave her a new life. And here we go. So Stranger Things brought her back. And we're going to talk more about Stranger Things. So there's some other actors. We're not going to dive too much into them. But, I mean, I was going through it. And there's a lot of actors who are getting a career rebound from this. Matthew Modine. Man, I knew Matthew Modine was a big actor in the 80s and 90s. You know, Paul Reiser. Do you know which character is this? I'll show you a picture of Paul Reiser. That's Paul Reiser.
That's like the other doctor. I don't know his actual name, but it's like the other doctor after Matthew.
Well, he's been around forever. So when I was a kid, he was a stand-up comedian, and he was in a movie called Beverly Hills Cop, right, which is a classic. But then he had a TV show in the 80s called My Two Dads, right, where it was this little girl re-raised by these two guys who neither one of them knew if they were her real dad or not, which is weird because that's kind of like what Father's Day was with Charlie Hoffheimer. But anyway, very strange. I'm like, really? No one can take a damn test to find this out? So we're all just going to live together? And of course, like he's like the straight, the business guy. The other guy's like a crazy, wacky artist guy, and they live together with the daughter. And then, but in the 90s, he had a really popular show called, I don't remember the name of that damn show. Mad About You. Him and Helen Hunt. Really good show. Anyway, so that's Paul Reiser. So you, though, said you wanted to talk about fan theories for Stranger Things.
Yeah.
So is this going to be some breaking news? Are my FanaCheck fans going to hear some stuff about Stranger Things?
If you haven't watched all of season 4, then probably don't.
Okay, spoiler alert.
Spoilers.
All right, what do you got?
So actually, my dance teacher came up with this one.
Ooh.
Her fiance came up with
Color
it.
Me intrigued. What do you got?
So her fiance came up with, like, maybe, like, what if the whole thing was just them playing D&D the whole time? Like, Eleven was, like a character, like, uh-huh. a little, like, statue character.
I like it.
And, like, so, like, the whole time it was just them in Mike Wheeler's basement playing D&D. Like, it wasn't actually...
I like it.
Nothing happened.
So, there was that... So, when I was a kid, there was a TV show called Saint Elsewhere. It was a hospital show. And a lot of famous actors came out of it, actually. Denzel Washington, the bald guy, Howie Mandel, before he was bald, he was on it. But at the very last episode, you find out, like, they're showing that you can see the hospital, it's in the snow, right? And then the camera pans out, and what you realize is that the actual hospital is inside of a snow globe, and it's an autistic boy playing with the snow globe. So the whole show was in this autistic boy's brain. Anyway, so it kind of reminds me of that. That's kind of neat.
Yeah.
So what else you got?
Also, another spoiler. So, do you care if I spoil for you?
No, not at all.
Okay, so basically, Eddie dies at the end of season 4.
Oh, we miss Eddie.
Which, a lot of people loved him. I did cry when he died, but I wasn't the biggest, like, I didn't care that much because he was just introduced in season 4. But so a lot of people have a theory that since basically all of Stranger Things and like the Upside Down is based off of like a game of like Dungeons and Dragons, like the Demogorgon comes to life in season 1 because of like Will and they were playing it. So like basically all of it is just like a real life Dungeons and Dragons game. And so basically Eddie dies and there's this one character in Dungeons and Dragons, like in real life. I don't exactly know what his name is. I think it starts with an X, like Sax or something. I don't know. But he has the same like features as Eddie. Like they both play the guitar and like, the character works for Vecna. Like it's like Vecna's like companion
and
or
Vecna's
whatever.
Vecna's the bad guy.
Yeah, Vecna's the bad guy. Gotcha. And so basically like after Eddie dies, people have a fan theory that Eddie's going to come back as like that Dungeons and Dragons character because he like they both play the guitar and like they're both like very similar and they think that Eddie's gonna come back and since that character is Vecna's companion that they think that Eddie's gonna like turn on him and like beat him or whatever. But also the Duffer brothers confirmed that how Eddie died is he got bitten by these like bats in the Upside Down, and the Duffer brothers said when they were in an interview that the bat bites can't actually like kill you, they can only like hurt you for like a long period of time or something. They said something along those lines of like it actually can't kill you. Huh. So a lot of people think he's going to come back as that Dungeons and Dragons character in the Upside Down.
Oh,
and work for Vecna.
Interesting.
Yeah,
what else you got?
Hold on, I gotta read my favor.
No, he took notes. I like it. You're serious about this.
Okay, so this one. So in season 1, Will rolled like a 7, which like wasn't enough to beat the Demogorgon or whatever. And so he gets captured by the Demogorgon because in the game he wasn't able to beat it. But then 11 comes along and 11's bigger than the number 7. So like 11 is able to beat the Demogorgon because that's what people think, that like her number, since she was 11 and 7 wasn't enough to beat the Demogorgon, then that's gonna like, so then she came and defeated the Demogorgon. Yeah, so then in season 4, 11, like I forget, I don't know what number exactly it was, I think it was like 16 or whatever, like you needed to roll a perfect like 16 in order to beat Vecna, and they did in the actual, like, game that they were playing, the Dungeons and Dragons game. But then in real life, 11 is less than 16. So people think that that they're not going to be able to beat Vecna and he's actually going to win because 11 is lower than 16.
Oh, but ultimately, you think the big reveal will be that it's real anyway? They're just playing Dungeons and Dragons?
Well, that, I don't know. I feel like it would be sad and also cool if that happened because everyone would be like, whoa. But then everyone would be really sad because then, like, 11 wasn't actually a person. It was just, like...
But then there are people you bring back. Like, I know I did watch... Yeah, I never told you this. I actually did see the first couple episodes, I think. And I wasn't into it.
And you watched a couple with me when I was sick of season 3.
That's right. That's right. And I remember there was a girl that got killed in a pool.
Barb.
Barb. So, like, it would be nice if, like, characters like that could come back, right?
But no,
like,
one cared about Barb.
See, that's what TV shows, even like you said, Eddie died, but you didn't really care that much because he was kind of a newer character.
Well, everyone, well, a lot of people thought that, well, it's kind of like 50-50. Some people were like, oh, I don't really care. He was only introduced in season 4. And then others were, like, bawling their eyes out because they loved him so much. So
yeah, I wish TV shows would commit more and actually kill someone, like, shock. Like, there was a show I used to watch, which I would never let you watch.
They sort of did kill someone.
Oh, did they?
And they killed, not really killed, but do you care if I spoil?
No, I don't care.
Spoilers. So, at the end, Max Mayfield, not really dies, but, like, she starts getting, like, cracked by Vecna or whatever. Like, she goes into, like, his, like, trance. And she doesn't die because Eleven saves her, but she's in a coma, and the doctors say she might never wake up from the coma.
But you know, then, she's going to wake up, though. Come on.
I know, but I'm saying they kind of killed someone.
I know. I just feel like TV shows, sometimes it's a cop-out when they kill someone that you kind of care about, but not really. Like, I used to watch this show. You've heard me talk about The Walking Dead. Yeah. I haven't watched it in a while. That show didn't mess around. No one was safe. Like, damn. Got to the point I was scared to watch it, because every time you watch this, some other character was just getting killed.
I thought that Steve was going to die, but then, on the other hand, Steve's probably one of the most, like, fan-favorited characters. Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to die because I thought he was going to die, like, saving Nancy or something, but he didn't.
Gotcha.
He's still alive, which is great. Everyone loves Steve, so.
What else? Anything else?
I didn't write down anything else.
Do you have anything else you want to add?
Well, wasn't Maya Hawke in your favorite
movie? Oh, yeah, we didn't get to that. That's right. So, again, if we're going to tie it into Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, absolutely, Maya Hawke. She played one of the hippie girls, and she was actually in a really, it's a very small role that she has in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which I'll let you watch when you get a little bit older, but it's a really cool scene. It's a scene where this character named Cliff Booth, who's played by Brad Pitt, he's the one on the far left there, his character goes and he goes to this place called the Spahn Ranch, where all the Manson family is living, and it's an old movie ranch. They used to film westerns there, and he's just worried about the owner of the ranch. He thinks these young people are taking advantage of him, so he wants to go talk to him, and the hippies don't want him to, and he's like, nah, I'm going to go talk to him anyway. And it's almost like a western scene. Like, he walks in there, but the primary girl watching him and reporting, hey, this guy is here, and he's in a Cadillac Coupe de Ville, is Maya Hawke, and it's a pretty cool scene, yeah. And then he has a face-off with another actress named Dakota Fanning. But anyway, so is this your first ever appearance on a podcast?
Yep.
Was it fun?
Yes. Yeah. Well, half-half. Being honest.
Fair enough.
Because, it's just sometimes I didn't understand what you were saying.
It's okay. Sometimes I don't understand what I'm saying. All right. Well, hey, I really appreciate you doing this. You've been a fantastic guest. What did we learn today? I learned that... Stranger Things has a lot of spoilers. There's a lot of exciting things happening. I dig it. I think that idea is kind of neat.
But there is a joke that, like, by the time season five comes out, they're all going to be, like, old, because the Duffer Brothers always have, like, 3 years before they make the next season.
Yeah.
Because, like, season three was, like, before COVID. And then season four was supposed to be earlier, but then COVID happened. So it was like 3 years later.
Are they explaining any of that in the show? Like, how are they explaining the fact that Finn Wolfhard is like 6'4" at this point?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. And they all, some of the older actors that play like the teenagers, like Steve and Nancy and Jonathan, in the beginning they were like freshmen in high school, and now they're like going into college or whatever. And then so they look a lot older then, because like in real time it's not 4 years later. It's like more than 4 years later, so they look a lot older than they should.
Right on.
And there's this one, like, Eddie looked a lot older than a senior. Oh, well, maybe it was because, sorry, I'm talking now.
That's okay. You've got
Eddie looked a lot older because Eddie was held back in his senior year for, like, a lot of years because he was kind of stupid and weird.
Mm. Well, sometimes TV shows like to hire people who are actually older than the characters because it's harder working with kids. The problem with working with kids, you can only film so many hours a day. They have to go to school. But if you get someone who's 18 or 19 to play someone who's 15 or 16, they're adults. They can work longer. So that's kind of why I do that. Well, I remember when there was a show when I was a kid that came up called 90210. Mommy loved it. Actually, no, Luke Perry was one of the stars of that show, and Luke Perry was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It was actually his last film role because he died after that. But, I mean, some of those actors look like they were 30. There's one guy named Ian Ziering. He's like, Ian Ziering was the lead. You liked that Sharknado movie. You saw that with Mommy, didn't you?
I haven't actually seen Sharknado.
Oh, God.
I've seen Sand Sharks that I watched with Papa.
Sand Sharks?
It's like sharks that swim in the sand.
So it's like a wannabe Sharknado. You know a movie sucks when it's aspiring to be like Sharknado. Like, you didn't even watch Sharknado. You watched some half-assed version of it. Well, anyway, one of the lead actors in Sharknado is a guy named Ian Ziering, who had a receding hairline and everything when 90210 came out in the 90s. I'm like, this guy's like 35 years old. He's playing a high school senior. But anyway.
Yeah, and in Grease, I just watched Grease with Mom.
Ah, yes.
And like Rizzo looks like so much older than
he Stalker did. Channing. I think she was 35 when she made that. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That's funny. Mom's name was Rizzo.
That's right.
She came on the show.
That's right. Rizzo, you are correct. Yeah. Mommy's done two appearances. Do you ever want to come back on the show?
Yeah.
You sure?
We can talk about a movie that maybe both of us have actually seen.
Like I said, the point of Fan Check is I just talk to people. Rant.
One more thing.
Yes.
When you were talking about like using kids, in season 4 they had to use like a younger Eleven because Eleven was having like flashbacks or whatever when she was in like the water tank. And so they had to find a kid that like sort of looked like Eleven to like make it as like if she was younger. And what they did, it was kind of cool. They took a kid that kind of looked like Eleven and then they like CGI'd features of Millie Bobby Brown's face onto that kid. So like the kid had like Millie Bobby Brown's face. It was kind of weird.
It's a brave new world out there. Well, let's just remind you of some things that I want to recap. Fanacek is cool. Fanacek is Mitt Robin Quivers. Fanacek worked with Nicholas Tucci. Fanacek knows Charlie Hoffheimer. That's all I got. It's been a real pleasure working with you. I love you.
I love you too.
Fair enough. So that wraps up this special episode of Fanacek. Please check me out on Instagram. No, excuse me. Yeah. Am I on Instagram? No, I'm on Twitter.
No.
At Fanacek Podcast on Twitter. You can also email me, fanacekpodcast@gmail.com. Tell all your friends, Eleven. And again, stay tuned.
My friends wouldn't care.
I know they wouldn't. My friends wouldn't care either.
No, yes, they would.
All right. Anyway, until next time, stay tuned for another exciting episode of Fanacek.